There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of the 50 Days of Dragon Con podcast with your hosts, John and Lee. They'll be right along in just a moment, don't you know? Lee, are you there? Lee?
I'm here.
Hello.
You're so weird. What voice is this supposed to be?
I don't know. It progressed
from... Mister, you trained as an actor at one point.
I don't know. I was just...
That was a very odd
voice.
I was just skewing my
face and then going with whatever I felt like.
I mean, that was almost like, you know, those... You used to have those barkers out in front of the haunted houses when you would go, like, to the fairgrounds trying to get you to come in to the... To the scary haunted house.
You know what? I just watched The Show Must Go On again for Grimm, so maybe that's was an influence.
You're pulling in all the scary voices you can, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, you know what, though? We can scare you if you come to Dragon Con.
No, you can't. There's no way. There's no track that's dedicated to scaring me or to you know, scary things or movies about scary things or even...
Its name changed last year. It is now just called Horror Track.
No, that's
it's
no
all
true.
All about those things. It
you
is.
Lie.
You know what? Derek, tell him the truth. Tell him about it.
Who's Derek?
Come on.
Last year was the first year that it was actually the Horror Track.
See? And it's all about things that go bump in the night.
And next
year, not
the closet. Yeah.
And next, you're going to tell me that Derek is the director of that track. I bet that's what you're going to try and tell me next. No, you're not.
Yes, he is.
I was maybe he's not. I don't know. I was actually now second guessing myself.
Wait, I don't know what she's going to say. No, he is the director of that track. And how are you doing, Derek?
I'm doing okay. I mean, I just can't believe it's that time again. I mean, seriously, wasn't I just talking to you guys like a couple of months ago?
It feels that way, doesn't it?
It does feel that way.
Although this...
it does.
Last week it made it like feel like a month. But anyway.
Yeah, but no, we are. Yeah, no, I mean, it is. And it's been a very... You know what, Derek, though? You'd be proud of me. You would be.
How's
I've
that?
Watched all the Hannibal episodes now. Finally.
Oh, what do you think?
I love it. It's disgusting,
really?
And it's scary, and it's creepy. I think the thing about Hannibal, which I think is very different from some other shows that you and I have talked about, one of those being The Following, and even The Walking Dead, Hannibal is chilling because it is just so possible to have that type of psychopath out there and just being as everybody thinks he's normal, and it's just terrifying. And the way they've shot it and the way they've written it and the characters and the actors they've got, I love the whole thing. It scares the bejesus out of me. I can't watch it in real time, so I watch it afterwards, and I watch it on my little computer screen. That seems to not scare me as much, but I love it. I love the show.
I never
thought I'd watch it. Yeah,
I'll tell you this, too. After watching that, I was wondering if Mads Mikkelsen was some kind of a madman. But I recommend a movie he was in titled The Hunt, that plays a completely sympathetic guy, and he actually turns out to be like a pretty nice guy in the movie. And it's like such a radical departure from Hannibal that, it's a disturbing film, but not disturbing because of him. So,
yeah, no, and yes, and I think, but they just picked a perfect person to be Hannibal. They picked a perfect person to be Will. It's a freaky, freaky show. It's a freaky show, Derek. You got freaky stuff. So that to me would be the freakiest TV show I think you have on your track. Or am I wrong? What I mean. What else do you have that's that freaky? Or that
I would say that's pretty freaky. I mean, we have a Twin Peaks panel. I mean, that's freaky, not in quite as a scary way, I guess, but certainly freaky in a just general freaky way. So,
well, see, I think what, and I loved Twin Peaks. See, I would have never thought of Twin Peaks as horror.
It's about demons in the woods who possess people and kill them.
Yeah, but I didn't think of it as horror. I don't know. I never thought of it as horrific.
Me, I'm just.
Well, you know, David Lynch can be pretty horrific if you've ever seen the 12-hour cut of Dune or whatever. But
no, I haven't. I did see the original in the theater, but
yeah. No, don't ever watch the director's cut of Dune. Save yourselves. But no, I mean, I think just the thing is that it is kind of it's an odd show. I always thought it was a very off-putting show in some ways. It didn't make you feel comfortable. It was an uncomfortable show. Twin Peaks, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But that's part of the brilliance of it. It was more almost more of a unsettling than outright scary,
yes.
I guess you could say.
Yeah. But that's just it. I think for you and your track, though, that's been the thing. Horror is changing. You know, it's not all things that go bump in the night. It's, you know, things that you're just kind of wondering what's going on. So, I mean, you got a Twin Peaks. Of course, you're talking Hannibal. And then what else? What else are you looking at doing on this year?
Well, we are going to have a Penny Dreadful fan panel. They should just call that Derexploitation, the television series. But
they just made it just for you, huh?
You know, in a lot of ways, I have to wonder. Sometimes I really wonder about that because, I mean, I'm just surprised it turned out as good as it did. I mean, I know that there's a lot of proven talent involved with it, but still. Just the fact that they made a prestige tribute to Victorian horror is just amazing to me. But
well, they did the Victorian horror. They've also brought in a little bit of elements of steampunk, just enough.
I don't see any steampunk element at all, other than the setting.
You really don't.
Well,
this is where I'll disagree with you. I don't think, and I know you've got it, I don't think The Following is a horror show.
Well, you know, I guess it wound up with me because it is psychological in nature as opposed to supernatural or super science or something like that. I guess that plus the Edgar Allan Poe connection is how it wound up on my track. So.
That's just it. I mean, I think so much of that show to me is the psychological and in a way almost the mystery, the conspiracy parts of how does he get all of these people to do what he wants them to do? And that still hasn't been explained. It's still very how can he get a politician to do this? How can he get this person, this person, this person? Why are these people following him? Because the guy isn't, he's kind of weird. I mean, he's not to me, in many ways, he is not that charismatic leader that you see in somebody like Hannibal or, you know, there's not that charisma that you could see following. But I don't know.
I guess credit the charisma of James Purefoy, you know?
Well,
Solomon Kane?
Which one?
Did you see Solomon Kane?
I did not.
It's actually very good. It's based on one of Robert E. Howard's other characters, other than Conan. It's actually my favorite of his characters. He's a Puritan monster basher. So James Purefoy stars in that one. Completely different type of character than he plays on The Following. But
and you do say the acting on The Following, though, is what makes some people watch it. Because the actors they've gotten and who they play and how they play, they've done a really, really good job of that. So what, so we're talking about those shows, but what other are there movies that we're talking about this year or what are you going on in that part?
You know, not really. I mean, the rise of horror on TV certainly has going to dominate the track this year. You know, I mean, there's a lot, I mean, but what's great is it's a lot of legitimate horror. Like, you know, I've already discussed Penny Dreadful, but also, you know, we have, of course, Hannibal, as we had spoken about, but also we're going to have a panel about the Twilight Zone, you know.
Yep.
Not always horror, but definitely made a mark on the genre. We have a panel about Sleepy Hollow. Now, I do want to emphasize for people listening, most of these things are going to be fan-based panels.
Oh, yeah.
As far as the guests are concerned, we do have Sean Ashmore from The Following. But, and I will say, though, Hannibal fans really need to check out the fan panels because they're going to be full of great surprises.
Oh, very cool. Oh, people, Hannibal
fans,
show up.
I would highly, highly recommend, if you're a fan of the show, even if we don't have any of the actors from the show, you want to come to these.
Well, I think, and Hannibal has just, I mean, it's, I think they were a little worried if they were going to be renewed. But what I also like about Hannibal is they're doing short seasons. They're not trying to pull this out over 22. I mean, they pull it into that 12. They do a very tight 12, and they're doing that. And I think a lot of TV shows especially are kind of moving towards that in a lot of ways, which for horror works really well.
Yeah, actually, if I had my way, all of my TV shows would follow those seasons, or all of my favorite TV shows. And come to think of it, I think most of them do. I think most of the shows that I cover on my track actually do just have those shortened seasons. But I agree with you. It makes for tighter storytelling. It doesn't pad things out unnecessarily. And it doesn't feel overwhelming for somebody who wants to start watching the series. It's not like they look back and see three or four seasons that are 20-odd episodes each.
Right.
So.
Well, and that's actually what happened for me with Hannibal, is I kind of marathoned the first season, and I got through those 12 episodes. I was like, oh, that's it? Oh. But then, yeah. So, now, so you got the Hannibal thing, and you've got Sean Ashmore. I've got his brother Aaron from Warehouse 13, which is kind of funny.
Who else do you have, Derek?
We've got a lot of guests. Actually, at the moment, it looks like we're going to be hosting a James Gunn panel. I know a lot of people are going to be excited about the Guardians of the Galaxy, but you know, he actually has a pretty strong background in horror and cult film. So we'll be having an hour at press time with him about those topics.
Well, and of course, as we say, everything is subject to change. But I didn't know he did horror. So what kind of horrors has he done? I didn't know that.
Have you ever seen the film Slither?
Maybe no. Years ago. I don't know that I have.
You need to see Slither.
Uh-huh.
He also wrote the screenplay to the Dawn of the Dead remake. He actually got his start at Troma. So.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
I mean, he has had a pretty solid career in kind of the like I say, the cult film genre, and good to see him break through to the mainstream. I really like the Guardians of the Galaxy, and I'm not just saying that because he's scheduled to be a guest this year. So,
yeah, and I can't wait. We haven't been able to go see it yet, so we're going this weekend. But no, that's cool. And James Gunn, I mean, he's a big name. I mean, that we're getting him coming is kind of cool.
I'm just now realizing that
he's really coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I told you this last week.
You may have, and it didn't really dawn on me until just now.
But you had this exact same reaction.
Did I?
Yeah.
I've been drinking a lot between then and now.
But no, I think he's going to be really neat. And I just read an article on him. He and Michael Roker, who many people will know as Merle from The Walking Dead, have actually been in movie. Michael Roker's been in most of his movies. He started with Slither,
Henry Portrait
which is
of a Serial Killer.
What? He wasn't?
You keep calling him Merle. I tend to think of him from Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. James Gunn didn't direct that one, but that's the movie I'll always connect Michael Rooker to. So
Michael Rooker is he's connected to a lot of very odd movies and a lot of very odd TV shows. But yeah, so that was a very interesting thing to read. And then so you're doing that with him. Who? What other guests? So you got those two. Anybody else?
Yeah, Tom Savini. He's going to be coming back. Yeah. We've got a lot. We have a lot of great authors coming this year.
Good.
You know, my friend Jonathan Mayberry is going to be returning. Christopher Golden, Chelsea Quinn Yarbrough, Sherry Priest. You know, I could go on and on, but I have a dream team of author guests this year. My longtime friend Aaron Taylor.
Excellent. And Jonathan Mayberry, who is also going to be on my track because he is going to be editing an X-Files anthology this year. Jonathan Mayberry, if you have a young adult who is into zombies and things like that, his Rotten and Ruin series, excellent. We got it for my nephew last summer, and he basically read the first one, like 3 days we were at the beach, and then we had to go and get the other ones right then because he wanted to keep reading them. And he is so excited to he actually talked to Jonathan Mayberry last year at Dragon Con, and he hopes to get him to sign some books this year, which I think will be kind of cool. So yeah, no, that's he's a great writer. And if you have a young adult who wants to get into Rotten Ruin, or if you just want to read it, it's a really good book.
I'll say this too. You may disagree as extract director, but I will say I can't think of any other person who would be better suited to deal with the X-Files universe than Jonathan Mayberry. Oh. Because, you know, I actually know him from his nonfiction books. He's actually written a lot of nonfiction books on the paranormal, so he has both experience in nonfiction and fiction with that topic. And
When he actually contacted me and let me know about this, and I was ecstatic that he is doing this. And the people he's bringing in, I don't want to spoil his panel, but he's bringing in some amazing writers to do stories in this anthology. And that just makes me so, so happy because he knows so many people. He's been around that he has made a great network of writers. He is very well respected. So he's bringing in some great people with him. And I'm just, I can't wait. I can't think of anybody more perfect right now to do that.
Could not have happened to a nicer guy.
Oh, so nice. I mean, such a nice guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, are you doing a Stephen King panel again this year?
Actually, we are doing a Stephen King panel this year.
Which one are you doing?
My friend Clay Gilbert is going to be moderating kind of our we're wanting to start off our, or restart, I guess you could say, the year in Stephen King news. We had done it a couple of years ago, but we're kind of wanting to try and do that as a regular thing now again. So,
okay. So you're going to just kind of a year in Stephen King news. A recommendation. I've been reading a lot of his son right now. Also reading the short stories they've written together. They're excellent.
Yeah.
Throttle was just a great follow-up to Duel and some others, and they are very, very good. So Joe Hill's a great writer. He is in the genre, but he is a very different writer than Stephen King in a lot of different ways. In a way, almost, he's sometimes a little more readable than King, which is, and I love King, as you well know, so, which is good. So
yeah,
cool.
He is indeed a great writer.
He is. So. Both of them. I mean, give Hill a couple of years. He's going to continue and get better and better. So you got this other horror stuff. What other kind of maybe non-show stuff or old time horror or things like that? Are you doing anything on, I don't know, maybe Dracula or any of those older, not the urban fantasy stuff that goes with Carol, but more of your kind of horror?
Oh, yeah, we actually are bringing the Dracula panel back. Interestingly enough, one of the attending pros this year is a writer named John Browning. He's a very respected Bram Stoker scholar. He just recently moved to Atlanta, and he actually contacted me and asked about Dragon Con, and I suggested he apply as an attending professional. which is great because now we can actually have him on the panel instead of me referring to his work or something. Yeah, in fact, I just have to say, I've got like a tremendous lineup of, speakers in general. Like somebody I'm really excited to meet. He's actually primarily a paranormal guest, but a writer named Lauren Coleman. He's a writer on true life paranormal topics. He's going to come do a panel with us about the Slenderman phenomenon, the weird phenomenon of phantom clowns. If you want to get scared,
I don't like those clown
Google
things.
Phantom clowns.
No, no, those clowns that are standing on the street corners and stuff. Oh, I don't like those, Derek. Those are scary.
Oh no, this is far creepier.
Oh, I'm not okay. Creepier then I'm not looking up that.
Creepier than clowns, just in general. That is pretty darn creepy.
Have you seen the pictures, John? Have you seen the pictures of the clowns just standing on some of the street corners in the UK?
No, I have not.
Okay, well then don't go looking for them because it's creepy. It's like freaking Pennywise is just sitting on a corner in the UK waving at you. It's terrifying. Freaks. Sorry.
Anyway, what else? What else you got going? What other creepy things are you talking about?
Well, we have some. We have a couple of True Blood panels. We've got Kristen Bauer and Nelson Ellis coming back. But actually, a new guest for this year is Michael McMillian. He actually played one of the characters on the show, but he's actually a comic writer too. He's written some of the True Blood tie-in comics. He's actually like a fan of the genre, in addition to being just an actor on the show too. So, very much looking forward to him to meeting him the first time. And we actually this wasn't planned, but we wound up bringing back a large chunk of goth content. You know, remember. The track actually started off more goth-centric, but we actually have a number of panels about gothic music and art this year, which is pretty cool, actually, because I have a lot of friends in that scene.
Now, so that kind of brings up an interesting question, because I think that we have urban fantasy on later, but what is the difference? Where do you draw the line between – I know directors always kind of get into this weird – a debate over what belongs in what area, but for urban fantasy versus horror, what is the difference? Where is the line drawn?
You know, for me, I think Carol will come up with her own definition. But for me, I think with urban fantasy, a lot of it is what I call the commonplace of the supernatural. For example, in urban fantasy, vampires could be your next door neighbor, but everybody knows about it. Mm. You know, it's like the supernatural is out in the open, and it's just accepted, or at least people know about it if they don't accept it. With horror, the intent is to unsettle or scare, as opposed to just like tell an action story or something like that. There really is a big gray area sometimes. I mean, some things like, say, to return to Hannibal, I mean, that's clearly horror. I would say, Penny Dreadful is clearly horror. True Blood, I mean, it's been grandfathered into my track, but I mean, that's certainly a large urban fantasy crossover. Especially due to its origins as, based on a popular book series.
I think, too, with the urban fantasy, there is, when I think of something like True Blood or Teen Wolf, which I know is on urban fantasy, when I think, and Supernatural is there, and when I think about those shows versus your shows, I'll meet them. I wouldn't mind meeting the Winchester brothers. I could meet Sookie Sackhouse. I could, in Teen Wolf, I'll meet Styles. I'd do all of that. I don't want to meet Hannibal. And maybe that's where, And maybe that's a little bit of a difference in it as well, is that one doesn't scare me. It's still set and it's still got those elements of classic horror, but they've modernized it in a different way than something like Hannibal has modernized cannibalism, as it were.
Actually, I've been saying for quite some time that Hannibal is the best vampire show on television, in my opinion, as far as classic style vampirism is concerned.
Yeah.
I mean, people are like, yeah, people are like, what do you mean? It's not supernatural. But I'm thinking, let's see, a Eastern European nobleman who preys on other people and tries to convert others into beings like himself.
Yeah. And he does get into your head, which is, again, what Dracula did.
Exactly. He's Dracula there without superpowers. But, I don't know. Like I say, I think it's a really fine line sometimes. My own personal line in the sand often is it derived from a classic work of horror fiction?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it very blatantly horror? You know, like, for example, you know, even take Sleepy Hollow. I mean, Sleepy Hollow is arguably borderline case, but the way I see it is, you know, it wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the short story.
Keep going.
But what I'm saying is, the short story, while the short story is arguably more about a prank gone awry than anything, you know, it's still, the imagery has always been connected to the horror scene, you know.
Well, and I think the thing about Sleepy Hollow, and you and Carol and I have all talked about this, because I could make an argument for my track, I could make an argument for Carol's track, and I could make an argument for your track, because you got just enough of that conspiracy stuff with the Masons. With a tinge of how in the world is this guy still alive, a little bit of that paranormal. You've got the horror, because there is something terrifying about it. And okay, I'm going to spoil Sleepy Hollow at the end. You know, the idea of also being buried alive, a little scary.
Yeah.
But then you've also got the kind of urban part, the urban fantasy part of this is now set now, and there is a lot of that kind of, you know, it's taken the classic tale and spun it a bit. And so easily in any of ours, because, you know, I there are parts of Sleepy Hollow that freak me out, but then there are other parts of it I am laughing hysterically at and just enjoying the heck out of the show.
Yeah, well, in thinking about people you would like to meet, surely you would like to meet Ichabod. I mean, one of the most likable characters on TV, in my opinion.
I want to meet Abby. I want to meet Abby. I want to go have coffee and donuts with Abby and pie. That's what I want to do.
And you want to do something different with Ichabod?
No, not really. Long hair.
Oh, that's right.
It's the long, greasy hair thing. I don't do the long hair, remember?
You need a suit and a... And
cropped. If you weren't wearing the wig, because it is a wig, sorry to bursting one's bubble.
No!
Probably.
Just to clarify for people who keep up with my track, we are talking about the character Ichabod on TV. We are not talking about Ichabod, my assistant director on the horror track.
Yeah, right.
Who also has long hair, but it is very real.
Yes. But no, I mean, I think, yeah, I that whole show. And then, of course, you know, anything that has Clancy Brown on it in any way, shape, or form always gets a lot of love from me. Because What?
Oh, sorry. Did you ever see The Bride? Where he played Frankenstein's monster.
Yes.
You know, yeah. I rewatched. Sorry, I was just thinking about Clancy Brown because of that. I apologize, but
no, it's good because I think, I mean, he is just really, really cool, and I mean he is, and it's just one of those things. You're like, oh my god, because I love him in everything I've ever seen him in. I just, there's not ever been a show I've seen him in or heard his voice in and haven't gone, that's cool. He's the best Lex Luthor ever. And I don't care that he was a cartoon. I don't care.
He's got the voice for it.
He's got the voice for it. So, sorry. We're off on tangents. Derek and I like horror, and we talk about it a lot. So, now, Are you doing, I mean, you already talked about some of your authors. Are you looking to do, and I don't know, I have not looked at your schedule, so this isn't trying to set you up for a yes or a no answer, but are you doing like the top 20 horror stories this year or anything like that?
No, not really. I mean, now we do have a panel about, like I said earlier, we've got like just a dream team of writers this year.
Oh, you do?
James Moore, local horror writer, local to the Atlanta area, but also just a good writer, great guy all around. He's going to be moderating a panel that we have just sort of the current state of horror fiction, you know. Mm-hmm. Nothing like quantifying like the best that
always subjective. Yes, it's always subjective. I mean, I would tell you, and just because I just found it, I would say Throttle's one of the best ones I've read this year. Well, I think it came out like 4 years ago, and I just now found it as an ebook. So, you know, that happens. But I think that it is, first of all, subjective. It's also, when did you get to it? There are other things that we're doing, too. So one of the questions I have for you now, if you were able to get out of your track room, who or what do you want to go and do at Dragon Con that is not related to horror?
Not who do you want to do, but...
What would you like to do? Who would you like to see that's not related to your drag?
Well, you know, I'll certainly throw a nod to my sister, Carol.
Yep.
I mean, I love Carol. She's one of the best volunteers I ever had. And I think
about to say, is she really your sister?
Job. No, not literally.
She is your fandom sister.
She's a sister from another mister.
You know, believe it or not, this might actually surprise you, but I would actually like to check out some of the paranormal track programming. Like I mentioned earlier, Lauren Coleman's going to be there this year, but they have like a lot of great paranormal guests. Believe it or not, back in the 90s, back in the 80s and 90s, I was actually more into real-life monsters and real-life paranormal stuff. So, you know, and it's just kind of cool that, you know, they're getting people like Travis Walton and people like that. I just think it's all really interesting stuff. So that's actually the track I would like to check out if I had time. So.
And you know me, there are certain parts of the paranormal that I just love. I am a huge, I don't know if I would say fan is the right term, but I'll watch anything about Bigfoot. I'll watch anything about Bigfoot. It doesn't matter. I'm Bigfoot and UFOs. So yeah, very cool. And the Travis Walton, he was actually on X-Track last year, and it is it's an engrossing hour of time with him. So if you can
No doubt. I mean, a lot of my regulars actually have paranormal cred, my friend Corvus Nocturnum. He is going to be doing some panels for Paranormal Track in addition to my track. And my longtime friend Michelle Bellinger is a noted psychic. She was on a Paranormal State, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also a walking encyclopedia of the dark side, I would say. So always good to have her on board.
She does know a great deal. She is a great person to ask questions and talk to in that genre. She's great at it.
Cool.
So very cool.
Cool. So now let me ask you our final question. Actually, let me ask you one other question first before I ask the final question. Where are you located?
Yeah, that is a good question to ask, though. We are in the Westin. The room has recently changed names.
Last year it was
the Roswell Room. This year it is known as the Peachtree Room. Not the Peachtree Ballroom, but the Peachtree Room.
Oh, dear God.
In the Westin.
So certainly we should confuse people a little bit more, right?
Well, here's what's funny about that, by the way,
Atlanta, can you think of a different name besides Peachtree?
Well,
just
that's
one.
The big thing about this. The Westin, just not even 2-3 weeks ago, changed all of those room names, and they are all now like areas of Atlanta. So Roswell is a suburb of Atlanta. Why they didn't leave that room's name, we don't know.
I was wondering the same thing myself, but in the end, Peachtree Room is where the track, like the programming track is based out of. Of course, there's going to be some large room events, you know, scattered throughout what I call Dragon Con Country.
And do know, it's still the same room. It's just got a new name. It's in the Westin, the Wild Wild Westin. One of our favorite places.
Hey, I love it.
It's a good place. It's pretty.
Yeah.
He's pretty.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, come here for most of your creepy stuff needs.
There you go. And I will also say the Westin.
You've got the time travelers? Yeah, so, I mean, you got all the creepy stuff. Oh, wait.
Wait, the other thing I love about the Westin is if you do want to find a place just to sit quietly for 30 minutes, the Westin is one of those places you can find. They have near the Starbucks, they've got some nice little nooks and crannies where it's just a very quiet little place to sit. Now I'm scared that we've just put this out there and now it's going to be everybody's going to be rushing to find this quiet spot. But it is. It's very nice, and I've always loved going over there. I try to get over there at least once or twice each con. Usually I get at least once. So yeah, Derek, I'm just, your track sounds so great this year, and I can't wait. I can't wait to talk to you about it afterwards when we both are, like, exhausted and trying to remember what we did over the weekend.
Yeah.
So let me go ahead and ask you the actual last question here. If you could be killed by any horror character ever in the history of time, who would you like to be killed by? Hey, it's the
Dracula,
horror track.
Dracula, Rise from the Dead.
That's only if Dracula changes you. He doesn't change you just by drinking your blood.
Oh, he would convince him.
Why wouldn't he?
Well, yeah, course, why wouldn't
you
want to?
Especially, that's true. That's true. Very true.
Actually, the reality is, at least the mythos is that he, it's not real. Because wouldn't he, sorry to break everyone's. Spoiler alert!
I wasn't gonna call you on that, but I'm glad you called yourself on it. Keep going.
But he has control over everybody who he turns, right?
Okay, in that case, make it Lestat. I think I'd rather be an Anne Rice type vampire, anyways.
Okay. In her world, they don't maintain control over their turnees?
Only if they're very weak willed.
Oh, yeah, no. Most of Lestat's don't follow Lestat unless they want to. They're not. He's charming, and many of them do, but no.
Because I'm thinking, like, even in True Blood, right? Why wouldn't you just turn everybody? I mean, then you can create yourself your own little army.
I guess you'd run out of food.
Right. That's a good point. Nobody wants to eat. Nobody.
Right, but everybody
don't
that you
remember other things. Vampires don't like eating the animal blood. But they want human blood.
Why bother killing
you? You are forgetting all of your stuff, dude.
Why bother killing anyone? This is what I'm saying. Why bother killing anyone? They kill them. Why not just turn them? And then they can just torture them the rest of their lives if they want to.
But they can't eat from them if they've turned them. Yeah. And that's also competition. You've still got a dwindling food source because now you need two people to go after the
human. But you can tell them to do whatever you want, though, can't you? I don't know. This is a weird conversation to be getting into, but actually the appropriate conversation and the kind of conversations you can have if you head over to the horror track.
That's very true. So that's always cool. So, Derek, it's always cool to talk to you, and thank you for doing this. So do you want to tell people where they can find you on Facebook, the Twitters, the whatevers?
This is real, real easy to find, but the main website is horror.dragoncon.org.
Yep.
That has links to the Facebook page, which is just Dragon Con Horror. And also the Twitter feed, which is also Dragon Con Horror.
Wow.
You went
straight for the obvious.
There you go.
Well, I didn't want to confuse people. Cool. So.
Yeah. So, and if you're looking for his room, it's on Peachtree Street, next to the Peachtree Ballroom on Peachtree Avenue.
It's not near.
I'm kidding.
It's in the Peachtree Room in the Wesson.
Yep. Oh, God, Atlanta, please stop with the peach trees. I swear.
There's a t-shirt that says I can't be lost in Atlanta. I'm on Peachtree Street. Because there are 43 streets named that.
That's crazy.
Something like that.
Who did your urban planning?
You know, one of the things I was actually disappointed about was when I found out that the area named the Overlook in the Westin was not an actual room because I so wanted to have the horror Shining. Track in the Overlook.
In the Overlook. Oh, yeah. The Shining. Oh. Oh, we need to have a talk about Dr. Sleep, too, at some point, Derek.
You guys are weird.
Yeah.
But if you want to have...
Do you want to hear a good clown story?
No, but go ahead. Go ahead, though. I'm afraid to hear it.
Okay, well, one time there was this babysitter. You know, these stories always start off with the babysitter.
And by the way, did a friend of your cousin's uncle tell you the story?
No, actually, it was someone Lee knows, actually.
Okay, go on.
But, yeah, basically what happened is there was this couple, and they hired a babysitter to watch their kids. Because they hadn't been out as a couple, you know, in a long time. They wanted to go eat dinner. So what they did is the husband and wife went out, and they told the babysitter that she could use the family room because it had their large screen TV in it. So while they're out at dinner, the mother decides to call home and ask the babysitter how things are going. The babysitter seems apprehensive and says, you know, I would go in the family room, but I'm a little worried about that clown statue that you have in the family room. And the mother says, get our kids out of the house immediately and go next door. So the babysitter quickly gets out of the house with the kids, and the cops roll up. And they find a man dressed in a clown suit with a butcher knife hiding in a closet.
Now, first of all, absolutely terrifying just thinking about that, but is that true?
As true as anything you'll read on Snopes.
Now, wait. How is the clown and the butcher knife related?
Well, does it matter?
The clown statue was not a statue. It was a intruder dressed as a clown.
Yeah. Okay, see?
Why do we have to explain that to you, Lee? I'm curious.
I don't like clowns.
Maybe you knew.
No, I didn't.
Maybe I didn't tell the story effectively.
Oh, no, you did. I got the heebie-jeebies.
And I'm not going to go to sleep for hours. Thanks, Derek.
Yeah, and thank you. I didn't need to sleep, so let me take some... sleeping pills. Anyway, thank you once again, Derek, for joining us. I really do appreciate you taking the time to, talk to us. That's what I'm trying to say. These are the words coming out of my mouth.
These are coming out. That's all
So, yes, Derek, thank you for joining us. And again, everyone, be sure to go check out the horror track over at the Wild Wild Westin on Peachtree Street next to Peachtree Avenue in the Peachtree Ballroom on the Peachtree Room. No, it's just the Peachtree Room. Anyway.
We're not talking to you anymore.
And be sure to say hi to the guy, John Peachtree, who is manning the desk.
Yeah.
Don't listen to him. And remember, clowns are bad. There's never been a good clown.
Until next time. This is John for Derek and Lee saying bozo.
Clowns with a knife.
No clowns. Clowns are bad.
Clown with a knife.
John Shepherd was right.
Pennywise.
Nobody likes clowns.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 8133210TUG or email us at thegeeks at theuniquegeek.com. Follow the geeks on Twitter at @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.